This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Tell me something. You can go anywhere. Another timeline. Another universe. So why do you want to stay and fight to save this one? This is the world where my mom lives. I'm not gonna lose her again.
Time has a pattern that it can't help reliving. Different people, different worlds, drawn to each other like magnets.
My face. You stole my face.
If you were to go into the past, you have no idea what the consequences can be.
Bruce, I could fix things.
You could also destroy everything.
This can't be happening. I completely broke the universe.
Zod, we've been waiting for you.
I created a world with no metahumans. And now there's no one to defend us.
Want some help?
Oh. You're... You are?
Yeah. I'm Batman.
If I can't undo what I did... If I can't get back... There might not be a future. What's the play? Batman, what do we do?
We try not to die.
I got so confused. I was like, I fucking watched the wrong movie.
I mean, and we're wait, here. What are we talking about?
Can I just do my plugs and leave?
Again. The Flash!
I almost said the Batman again.
Oh my God, I'm sweating now.
What's written.
That was a lot for me.
Was that a real mistake?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it was, buddy. We read. Look.
I've already made my thoughts known on y'all's reading.
Sure.
We don't...
Wait till we get into it and you watch me stumble over words.
No. Okay, wait. So we're covering Batman movies this season.
Yes.
We've done them all.
We've done all of them. Yeah, and this is the 13th and last episode.
Before our exciting live stream, yeah, which is going to be a really big deal, where we're improvising Batman scenes with Bobby Moynihan and Taron Killam.
I can't wait.
Whoa. I'm really excited. Everyone should be tuning in for that. You can get tickets now to watch from home. But we're covering as much as we can of this franchise. Of course, it goes very far and very
deep.
But today we're discussing the 2023 movie The Flash, starring Ezra Miller.
Boy, oh boy. The Flash is available with a subscription on Max and Prime Video, and you can watch it for a fee on Apple TV Plus, Google Play, and Vudu.
Vudu. We're obviously going to spoil the film in deep, deep, deep depth, so get ready for that if you care.
Boy, oh boy, our guest today, I'm very excited. You better believe we got Pete Holmes and Patton Oswalt, who are comedians, actors, writers, and you know them from Crashing, The Pete Holmes Show, Ratatouille, King of Queens.
We watch Ratatouille a lot in my home.
Can you pronounce that again?
Ratatouille.
Oh, damn.
You blended our
intro. It's like a New Zealand almost. What the hell? Or Scottish.
Ratatouille is very big in my house.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's really small.
Lila loves it. Our five-year-old loves it.
Loves a little Ratatouille.
Hard to get her to watch a full movie, and she calls it a cooking rat.
Cooking rat. Oh, I'm sure that's what it's called in Japan.
It's probably what Ratatouille means.
Cooking action rat.
Yeah, cooking action rat.
And she loves the gun. I'm sure you get some. Do you ever get guff for the gun?
There's a gun? Why have I not?
Yeah,
the
old lady with a gun blasting away with a shotgun. It's
in the
done
first 15 minutes.
Oh, when she wants to kill all the rats.
It's very not Disney. I love Illumination. You see more guns in Illumination.
That doesn't bother me, though. They're all trying to escape. Maybe it would be a broom.
Yeah.
There's a little hidden Easter egg in that scene, though, because she's a sweet old lady who's weirdly adept with a shotgun, really knows how to blast that thing away. And if you can blink or you miss it, there's a picture of her on the mantelpiece, young, in a beret. She was in the French Resistance.
She
was a resistance fighter, and they added that in the background to explain why
she has a gas mask.
A gas mask. Yeah, she went through all that.
This is a Ratatouille podcast.
There's another gun in it. How well do you know your own movie? There's another gun.
And it's only shown in shadow. It's when the two lovers in silhouette are arguing. Goes, you don't have the guts, and she fires, and then they kiss, and
it's not shadow though. He watches them fight and he has the gun. Remy runs forward. They hear the gunshot. You circle back. Why am I telling
should
you about
they edit it? Out?
Then you see
and
them.
And then you
not
see they're kissing.
Do you think they should change the walkie-talkies?
You're right.
Initially, they are in shadow, though. Yes. I'm sorry. I think I know my
but
film.
You do. I wasn't correcting you as much as it's such a nice moment that you circle back. Sorry, ladies.
No,
the Flash.
Honestly, I'm thrilled that we're talking
this
about it.
Yeah.
No questions about my projects?
Oh, do you like Ratatouille?
Which camera do I Krasinski to? Which one's my mug?
Yeah. What does he do the Paul Lynn face to?
Where? This one?
That's
well,
great.
You also have your podcast, You Made It Weird.
Thank you.
Talk about.
Oh.
Yes.
Patton's been on twice. Mm-hmm. You've been on.
Yes, I have.
So check it out. I really appreciate that.
Yeah.
It's hard to grow a podcast when you've been out for 11 years.
That is a long time.
It's a long time.
That's like OG podcast status.
It's been revitalized. It's like we're in a nice renaissance. You know why?
Yeah. Why?
Because my daughter's five. And I'm finally, she's at an age where I can kind of like
interview her and make it weird.
Yeah. She was a great guest. Great guest. A little dirty.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, you raised her.
Yeah. Kind of alt-right, which was weird. But,
but our numbers are through the roof.
Oh, my. Are you kidding? The numbers on Rumble are insane.
Pat, you can't eat on a podcast.
He's doing it.
Watch.
While he was talking about playing a goblin, he was goblin.
No. Wait, okay. What is your guys' relationship?
That's not
What's
fair.
Your relationship to Batman or the DC comics?
You obviously love it. You have a shirt on.
Yeah
I wore my Roosevelt Batman shirt.
You have a deep. You both
it's
obviously
the schematics.
Know
How
a
dare
lot
you laugh
about
at this?
I'm laughing in delight.
This
I'm
is
delighted.
Everything you were.
There's a fly on my microphone.
were. Sir.
This is the most chaotic.
Sir.
This is everything you were.
R.M. Now.
No, I know. It's.
Thank you.
I did wear my Batman shirt. Can I go first? Because
Please.
I'm just going to say I absolutely love Batman very, very much.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And you've been doing Batman sketches.
For over 10 years.
Is that true?
Patton was the Penguin.
Penguin.
One of the early ones, which I'm still so grateful you did. And yes, it's Batman.
Batman.
So I'm Batman on YouTube.
Yeah. But you love the guy.
No, I love it. Those are all made from my heart. I didn't love who cares what I didn't love? The only mean-spirited ones we did were Dark Knight Rises, because I didn't like Dark Knight Rises.
Oh, okay. What's your favorite Batman?
Well, I don't know about
or
your
who's
taste
your
in
favorite
general.
Batman?
My favorite Batman is Keaton, which is great. That's Mine why too. I yeah. loved Flash.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, it was exciting to see him.
Well, yes.
One of the things I got to be in a Batman episode, and I played the Penguin, and what I loved about them is, and they're really, really funny, and they're really perfect, but they also are subconsciously showing this is what a Nolan Penguin would look like. This is what a Nolan Riddler would look like. Yeah. Even though they're trying to be funny and wacky, and they are, they do follow the Nolan aesthetics in a way where it almost feels like deleted scenes from the Nolanverse of that's what he would have made the Penguin.
Yeah, I agree.
That's what, and it's and that's fascinating.
Kat Bardot, our wonderful makeup person.
Oh my God.
She's incredible. Yeah. Incredible. And she did, she gave you these ears. And we made Matt McCarthy the Riddler before they did the Riddler. And I liked our Riddler more. He had like carved question marks on his face, really scary. But yeah, Oren Brimmer directs those. Matt McCarthy does those with me. And they're on my YouTube if
That's
anyone
so
wants to check them out. But
they're
like
great.
When I don't want to jump ahead, but this movie
you can jump all over
yeah,
worked
jump wherever.
A lot for me, The Flash, because I was watching. I know you guys
We're
are going to
have an argument.
You're
going
to. Oh, I can't wait to yell at you. I'm going to yell.
You're
going to
yell.
It worked for you.
But you don't need to. This is a microphone. It amplifies your voice.
Yeah, we can turn you up
tonality.
Later.
Okay.
It's tonality. Okay. It's not volume. It's tonality.
All right.
Anyway, when I saw, because I didn't know much about this movie.
Yeah.
So I kind of went in perfect. I'm sure everybody else in the world had seen spoilers and trailers and all that sort of stuff. I just put on a Flash movie, and now I got Blue Affleck Batman. Then I got fucking, we got Keaton
I was
back.
Equally surprised. I didn't know anything.
I was so
when
surprised.
When I Googled it, though, I was finding that there were Reddit threads spoiling it before it came out. Like, so, like you're saying, like people
That's
were
exactly,
like all up on it.
I will jump ahead a little bit. I also haven't watched a superhero movie in a while, and I think that will inform why I loved it so much. So like, there's obviously superhero fatigue, but it's been a long time. I'm a father. I grew up in the 90s watching the original Tim Burton Batman. So I put this movie on needing a break, needing some alone time, wanting to watch a superhero movie. Never saw The Eternals, never saw The Rings one, never, like I haven't been keeping up.
Yeah.
So I put one on and I was like, everybody, this is just going to be my opinion the whole way through. Everybody needs to shut up. They're just trying to delight us. It's so fun, but we're a little spoiled. That's my whole point, right up top.
You just explained where Marvel and DC went wrong. They did put too much stuff out. They did glut the market so that it didn't feel special. And what you experienced was what people experienced when they saw the Robert Downey Jr. Iron Man of,
exactly.
It's and that was a movie that's just out to delight you and be silly.
Yeah.
There's a fun extra thing after the credits. And then very quickly, someone put this so well, how I'll describe it, they turned into homework. They turned into
Well, we understand
but before
that.
Before you see the Marvels, you've got to watch this show and this show, and you got to watch this movie or this. And you're like,
And honestly,
having
the scene at the end about the next one, I'm like, no, there's another one. Like,
I didn't even watch that.
Yeah.
The movie ended when it ended. Mm-hmm. But I, again, to jump around, forgive me, but when we met Supergirl, I don't even know if we're calling her Supergirl.
I think that's what her name is.
But it wasn't Captain Marvel. It wasn't some other franchise. Mm-hmm. It was just a character in this movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, great. I didn't feel excluded from it.
That's true.
The whole time I was like invited to the party and I was like, this is great.
And it's definitely supposed to be very
but I'm about to rebut some.
Silly.
As right as you are, I will be rebutting some of this shortly, but we will. But I'll take it from the point of view of someone who watches a lot of these movies.
Yeah.
And because they were also trying to court that crowd, because that's what their money is, to see them with it so badly was kind of stunning, but I'll let you.
No,
well,
I want to
watch you
movies.
Guys.
Patton, did you watch Madam Web?
No. That I.
Oh.
And it was a bunch of us. Oh, you know what? A bunch of us were going to do that nostalgic thing when we were in our 20s, me and Brian Posehn and David Cross and that whole crew, we would purposely go see movies that we knew were going to be bad to enjoy
it. Yeah, it's always fun.
It is fun. And now that I'm 55 and my daughter's 14 and a bunch of us were going to go on a Monday and I'm like, I could read a book or go for a walk.
But
I don't need to do this anymore.
Go see it. I really loved it.
Really?
Loved Madame Web.
Sure did.
Oh, dear.
Because if you look at it in a way that maybe it is a satire on comic book movies, it's perfect. I laughed. I had a great time.
Kind of like how you have to watch Napoleon like a comedy. That's what everyone kept saying.
I mean, sure. Yeah. I haven't seen Napoleon, but if you go in with a ha-ha vibe, maybe you'll ha-ha-ha.
I actually
now I'm intrigued. Wait a minute. Do you think that Dakota is in on the joke?
No.
Oh, she's trying to sell this thing.
Yes, but as a whole.
But I feel like they all learned later that it wasn't good. I haven't seen it, but the way everyone's talking about it publicly.
Her press tour got more press than the movie.
Yes. Right.
The fact that this is a lead actress launching a franchise going, you don't need to go see
it. Yeah.
Which is stunning.
She said that?
Oh.
She said everything.
Every interview she gave, she was like, oh, the script was horrible. She just was trashing
her
movie.
She dropped her reps after the movie came out.
Aren't there contractual, like, you're not allowed to do
it? I don't know. That's what I find fascinating.
There is. So I think contracts are like, you have to do the press or you're expected to do the press, but you can say whatever you want.
They don't say what you, yeah. And also, I know that for a lot of-
They will now. They will now.
I've only experienced this I can say this because I've experienced firsthand. When you do a franchise thing, a DC show or a Marvel show, a lot of the times, and this happened twice to me, in your contract, it is written, you will go to San Diego, you will do these panels. Like, that is written into what you're doing. You will do that. And now they know a lot of online shows that get a lot of traction. You will go, you will participate in whatever goofy games are doing.
Yeah.
That's how we sell it.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Can I add one little button to what we're talking about?
Please.
I just want to, I'm going to prime you with this thought.
Again, you're bringing a genuinely unique perspective to this. As someone who took a break.
Yes, I took a break.
And just enjoyed it.
I think any movie that you're going to like have an opinion about, it's so weird. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. And that's true for movies. Mm-hmm. And we just read some reviewer who goes and watches a movie. Tell me about your love life. Did you take a dump that morning? Had you had coffee? Like, are your parents sick? I'm not trying to be funny. What's going on in your life?
Yeah.
And in fact, you actually could use... it is, right? Just a little brokenness. Like, if something bad happened to you recently, and you watch a movie...
And then you go, I hate this fucking movie. It's a piece of shit.
I think it can go both ways.
Yeah.
It can make you hate it, or if you're vulnerable and you need healing, you want to watch someone on screen struggling. So where were you? And I want you to watch it twice, but they can't. It's like they have to turn it around fast so they can shit on it. Of course you're shitting on it because it's literally homework for you.
Yes.
And you resent it. I'm just trying to say you can enjoy any movie if it meets you in the right way. So it's pretty absurd to kind of go around declaring things good or bad when we're really just talking about how we're experiencing our own lives.
Sometimes movies will... I remember I gone through a really, really horrible breakup and I was flying to New York after the breakup happened. This is in the late 90s. And this is, oh God, this is so embarrassing. This is back when, before they had streaming.
The camera,
I don't know if you remember, the planes would give you those little portable DVD players with movies already programmed into them. You could just pick a movie. And
a DVD player?
I don't know.
Was that first class?
Yeah,
I don't know that life.
I remember the whole plane getting it. These little flat things they were experimenting with. And I watched Legally Blonde. And I was in such a vulnerable, like, raw place
that
she ends up winning at the end and that song Perfect Day comes on, I almost started.
Of course.
Because I was so torn. And that movie still hits me that way, even though I know it's like, it's, but I was, you're right, I was in the moment that I was ready for it.
So, thank you for yes-anding my premise. When Val and I were falling in love, we're still in love. That's my, I don't know why I threw that to you, but we're still in love.
Okay.
Yeah, Lauren, he's still in love.
It's fine.
I just mean when we were first meeting and falling in love, we watched the movie Why Him, Bryan Cranston and James Franco.
Okay.
Yeah. It's not a great movie, but we were so in love that I still can't help but smile when I think about James Franco being a buffoon son-in-law. That's what you're seeing.
Yeah.
That's what you're, and when you're a little broken. So I actually was just going through a hard time and I was watching The Flash and I was like, he needs to learn a lesson. I need to learn a lesson.
Yeah.
And some problems can't be solved. You just have to. I was fucking in.
Wow.
And I also was like very touched by how clearly passionate, I think you can, even if you didn't like it, which is totally valid.
Yeah.
they put a lot of heart into a lot of. I don't mean a plot heart. Mm-hmm. I mean like
into
making
the story
suit
with,
line up. All the gags.
Oh,
all
I
the
was
jokes.
Say the story with his mom.
Packing in whoever made this movie, and I don't know, but like they
we'll tell you.
Cared,
yeah, we'll tell you.
And they went for it, and I was like respect. As I'm like trying to make different things, write different scripts, I'm like. Fuck yeah, dude. You took a 4-hour break to think of the best lasso of truth joke. And it's 30 seconds of the movie, and I know that took you a full day. And mm-hmm. fucking bravo.
Oh, we definitely respect that about all these things that we watch, because there's a lot of stuff that we're like, I don't get it, it's not for me or whatever. But like, of course, it takes so many people and so much effort and all that stuff.
Yeah, nobody's setting out to
and
make
a lot
bad.
Of times, these directors are operating with a massive boot on their neck. They are, not only are they pleasing the script, they have had to have meetings with merchandising people, toy makers, it all, and it's rough.
Sometimes
these movies still don't work, and I'm sorry.
No.
It didn't work for me, but we will get into that.
You're like a new Siskel and Ebert. Yeah. I'm like so into it.
I used to have a bit about this where I go, I made fun of a movie on stage, and someone yelled out, "You make a movie," which is only happening in L.A.
Yeah. You know, like, that's not,
that is such an annoying thing to say.
I agree.
Yeah, no.
I feel like your style inspired this bit. I never did on a special or anything, but I think you'll hear your influence on me in this bit. I was like, that's not how reality works. If I don't like a cake at Burger King, the chef doesn't come out covered in flour.
A cake
like, you
at
make
Burger King?
They make yellow like, Oreo cake.
Yeah, they do.
Don't fuck with me, fella.
You haven't been there in a while. But actually, I haven't been there in a while. They
Oreo
do
cake.
Have cake now.
But
and he yells, you make a cake.
He said they make an Oreo cake.
They have like a mousse thing, but that's not really a cake. It's more of a pie.
I appreciate your fast food expertise.
I love Burger
I was just
King.
Trying to pick a bad cake.
I used to eat Burger King every day after school.
Where you would judge a cake.
Then I found out I was anemic.
And I was like, you can't. I can have an opinion about cake without knowing how to make a cake. Doesn't that sound like something you would say?
Guys, we need to take a break.
We have to.
Oh, I'm sorry. Here we go.
Okay, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more about the flesh and everyone's life and what's going on with them.
Remember in 2018 when border control separated thousands of refugee kids from their parents and deported the parents back to their home countries while keeping the kids in the United States? Well, believe it or not, 6 years later, there are hundreds of families who still have not been reunified. Although we as a community may feel hopeless at times, I recently learned about an organization called Al Otro Lado, which works to reunify families. They provide holistic legal and humanitarian support to refugees, deportees, and other migrants in the U.S. and Tijuana through a multidisciplinary, client-centered, harm-reduction-based practice. Since 2018, they've reunified over 100 refugee families ripped apart by Trump's zero-tolerance policy. Once reunited, Al Otro Lado helps each family to find legal representation, housing, and counseling that they need in order to heal and get on their feet. Imagine having your child ripped from your arms and never knowing when you'd see them again. We can't let family separations go on. If you're like me and believe that families belong together, join me in supporting Al Otro Lado and donate today. You can find the link to donate to Al Otro Lado in the description of this episode, or go to gum.fm/charity to donate today. You can also consider volunteering with the organization, which offers opportunities that are both in-person and virtual. The best way to get involved is by filling out an application on their website at alotrolado.org/volunteer. altrolado.org/volunteer. Ooh, do you want to make your mom smile? Start Mother's Day with flowers or surprise her with gifts from the brand she loves. And guess what? It's delivered with the same day with DoorDash. Get 50% off your next order of up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now on DoorDash. And the promo code is NEWCOMERS. Listen, moms are a gift. I know that best. So give her the best this Mother's Day. Select from hundreds of expertly crafted bouquets to the best of tech to self-care essentials delivered right to the door. Get 50% off your next order up to $15 when you spend $15 plus on your next flower, convenience, grocery, or retail order now with the code NEWCOMERS. That's NEWCOMERS. Order using DoorDash today. Terms apply. Get a Mother's Day gift as unique as she is with DoorDash. We're back. All right, listen, the Flash.
My laugh is going to be was, on both ends of that cut.
You think?
100%.
Oh, they've got us figured out. They are so fucking
good. There's no way to figure that out. There's an audio group. Look at Anya's face.
No, it's fine.
She loved it.
It's fine.
Don't even worry about it.
Do not.
Was released on June 16th, the beginning of summer in 2023.
That was written
by Christina Hodgson and directed by Andres Musacchietti.
Oh, wow. I don't approve of that.
So,
that's what it is.
I'm just kidding.
I sounded it out.
I'm just kidding.
I don't say
Pete,
a lot of words.
We want to thank the movie spoiler for helping us put together this summary.
Yes,
okay?
Thank you.
Really?
Yes. Okay.
Wow.
We're going to jump into the plot. We're going to talk about this in great detail, and I want to hear everyone's thoughts. And you can interrupt at any time. So,
by the way, whoever wrote the summary, this is like unraveling Iran-Contra. So, thank you.
Exactly. It's the Lord's work. Okay. Yeah. There's no way we could do this.
Very confusing.
I'm
going
to say up top. All of this is wrong. You're supposed to sit there and go, his costume lights up with lightning.
Oh, no, no.
He phases through walls.
That's pretty much what I got from the film, but I know there's more going. He's not a twin.
He's not a twin.
He's not a twin.
So that's why we need the summary, because you're wrong.
I didn't think he was born in the same womb and raised. I followed the plot.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see.
Okay, right. Barry Allen, Ezra Miller.
You can't eat on a podcast.
What is that, by the way?
So many snacks.
Is it good?
You're like Elon Musk eating the pizza.
My God.
Okay, Barry gets a sandwich before work. I actually was very surprised by the start of this film. Please chew and have your...
Loved the start.
The start, I was surprised. He's having this sort of like conversation, getting his sandwich, and he's a little like nervous and whatever.
I hated
this. He gets a call from Alfred, Jeremy Irons, informing him of a mission. Mm-hmm. He puts on his flash suit and rushes to stop a hospital from collapsing into a sinkhole. Now, this scene was so fucking insane.
I feel like
it's very important to say that while we're seeing his character flaw, he's impatient.
Yeah.
He also feels inferior to Batman. These are the emotional stakes of the film. It's always Batman. Batman gets the cool job. I have to go save the hospital, while Batman is shown being very cool. That is literally what's resolved.
That is a good point.
So that's very important.
Thank you.
It's also very fun and novel to have the guy making the sandwich slow. I don't know why I'm being so combative.
No, it's okay.
He's making it really slow, and he goes on this adventure before the sandwich is done.
I thought that was very
right
cute.
Off the bat,
well,
fun.
I didn't like
Batten, I'm going to win you over, baby. You loved this movie.
Was pushing on the raisin. I was like, this is.
I know,
this is
that
how you
guy
make a
was
sandwich.
Like. That's a fun role,
rude.
Though.
Yeah, but he was the fill in guy. It wasn't the usual guy.
I was watching this scene, but you're right. I was watching the scene. Can I say, I was in a hospital watching the scene, getting an iron infusion for my pregnancy, and I was above the maternity ward where I gave birth previously, and this scene is happening. And I was like, it's as if the wall is falling off behind me and all of the babies are falling.
God.
It was actually too real.
Too
I was like,
real.
I was watching old people with infusions, and then there's all this stuff happening, and I was like, this is a really weird
That's
place to
That's why you
got to
watch
this.
It in the Vision Pro, man. you get yourself a Vision Pro.
I didn't like
I would
the
look
babies
so cool
falling.
With that.
The CGI babies look sick.
No, I was
and wrinkly,
so all these babies
like
are falling
weird.
Out the window.
I actually thought that it's a tricky production choice. We're having babies, which I thought was a great high stakes way to show this
really?
Guy to do something fun. But
he puts a baby in a microwave.
Why did he put
awesome.
It in the microwave?
I don't
so they're
know.
Falling
to protect
in
it from the flames.
Well, eventually I understand, but they're falling in the sky, and then
he saw the
then
flame.
He punches through a vending machine and is like. Because he needs his energy. And then
midway through the movie, we like lose that. He's not hungry anymore. And I was like,
his hunger.
He's eating the whole time.
The clone.
No, he's not.
The spaghetti at Batman's house. This kid is hungry.
That's the other version, isn't it?
But he doesn't have his powers at that point.
But I feel like he's so hungry saving these nasty little baby trolls.
and then he lines them all up, and then everyone lives. The best part, though, is the nurse who's
like. That lady screaming.
I was like, that's the part I want.
Yeah, why didn't I get that? You would have been great.
I did want to point out, though, that the babies, because I thought about it, I was like, this is working. I like it. Mm-hmm. The microwave is close to the edge. It's a little bit offensive, but it was making me laugh. Uh-huh. But then also the babies are sucking their thumb and they're kind of laughing. Very important. If those babies were screaming,
scarier.
Bad movie.
It
wrong
didn't, it,
choice.
It goes on for a long time
Too
with the babies
long.
Falling where you're kind of going, I think he is going to save them, but mm-hmm. I'm just like watching them fall and he's doing other shit. And then that's funny, but I'm going, get them.
Mm-hmm,
you
get
know, that was
babies.
A little concerned.
But also, they look like devil babies. I didn't like them. The artist who did them, I don't want to shit on somebody's work, but like, have you seen a baby before? That's my issue.
You are too funny.
So look nearby.
At look at your face at the
ben
end.
Ben Affleck,
end
Batman, is nearby chasing after a group of criminals who are
Who's
possession
blue,
of a
which was
deadly
awesome.
Virus.
Come on. Mm-hmm.
And they're eventually pulled up from the side of a bridge by Wonder Woman, Gal Gadot, with her lasso. Flash shows up a bit late, but he's thanked for his work.
Okay, not to be rude, but did Gal want to be there?
These are all 1 week shoots. They all wanted to be there.
I don't know. The way she
easy?
Just yes. pulls him up, I was
Michael
like,
Shannon? Michael Shanahan?
Shannon.
Michael Shannon? He wanted to be there. That was 1 week.
Gal His had the same energy. I've never forgotten this. I went and saw Batman and Robin, the George Clooney one.
A with, perfect movie.
With she Blaine Kapatch. And there's a scene where George Clooney, as Bruce Wayne, is dedicating a new telescope. And he says, and with this, we'll be able to, and he's standing at a rail. He goes, and with this, we'll be able to reach to the stars. And he just does this on the railing. And it's that thing. Blaine's like, that is, it's him going, I don't want to be in this fucking movie. And that was the energy Gal had in that scene. I'm just like,
I agree.
What's the line? I'll just give you one. I'll give you one. Here we go. I'm sorry, but you could just tell she didn't want to be there.
I fully agree.
I'm so sorry. That's the energy she gave off.
I know she's supposed to be strong, but I was like, can't you just have a little bit of effort pulling these two gentlemen out?
It takes nothing.
Be triumphant about it. There was just nothing. And then
but even deliver her
truth.
Line with a little
Lasso
bit of
truth
thing.
Is great.
Oh, we liked it?
I loved it.
The best Lasso of Truth joke was in the first Wonder Woman movie when it's around Chris Pine and he starts going, oh my God, this plan is horrible. We're all going to die. Like, that was great.
Because you know, the truth is coming out.
Because the truth is coming out.
I liked My Ego is Far Too Big to Say Thank You. I thought that was fantastic. And then I thought the Flash saying, I've heard of sex, but I've never had it. I was like, that's two for two.
He's very,
and they didn't stay there too long. We did a pretty good Lasso truth bit in my thing, but I was like, they did it very nice.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The Flash, I've been there. The Flash as a character is, talks about his
his dick a
dick
lot.
A lot.
Yeah. And I found that to be a little disarming. I was like,
I was surprised. I also was just surprised right off the bat how comedic this movie is.
Yes.
Because it's really, it's a very different tone than like anything we've been, especially the last few Batmans
that
we've watching.
Those were the Christopher Nolan
which
ones.
Which were so serious.
Very gritty and very
which
realistic.
We really liked. But like, this is just so silly that I was kind of like, okay. But then I'm like, wait, it's almost 3 hours long.
It's almost 3 hours
and
long.
And
the
it's
whole
so silly,
movie
I think we can go,
look like CGI.
Yeah. Well, there's so much fighting and battling for like long extended. And do you like that?
I loved it. I don't always love it,
but
I,
okay.
I
in thought, general, though, I think like a fight scene. Yeah,
I thought it was excellent. It made me feel like again. I've taken a break. It made me feel like a kid again. It really made me feel like a child. I'm seeing the Batmobile. I really feel like I'm representing what I thought was going to be your perspective.
Well, but I'm sorry, but I do watch a lot of action movies. Yeah. I just watched Kill
Buck
Soon. Oh, nope.
What's The Beekeeper?
An incredible movie with Jason Statham where he plays an actual beekeeper
in
and
a gang called the
a murderer, part of the beekeepers, and they don't explain it, and I didn't need them to.
But like, I'm just saying there's action now that has been taken to new levels in movies. So when I watched the action, this was, and I know I'm being a snob, but there's a certain bar that's been raised and go jump over it. And this one's just like, computer. And I know it's still hard to render stuff on CGI. It's a very hard work, but it's not thrilling. Because you're this was rendered somewhere.
I always like those practical effects.
I had a moment, though, to consider. Remember when Batman's being dragged? I forget exactly what's happening, but he's on a rope and it's almost like he's ice skating.
Yeah. Affleck at the beginning when he's being dragged by the car, you're like, I'm out of this.
Oh, I was in.
And then he jumps over the cars
it looks so cartoony.
He's in no danger.
Yeah.
There's nothing at stake.
I'm going to wear both shoes.
Oh,
right?
Boy.
Meaning I loved it. And one of the reasons that I loved it, I was like, how big was this green screen stage? Because I was like, that was a big camera move and a big stunt. So I was actually appreciating.
Can I ask a question about the Flash? I don't know if you know, but how comical as a character is the Flash in general? How silly?
In the books, he is very, he's not silly, but Barry Allen and Wally West, his successor,
I get it.
They're the one characters that are like, hey, do I get health insurance for being in the Justice League? Hey, I have a job. Like,
oh,
I need
to
make my.
So they're kind of like.
I'm not a playboy billionaire, hint, hint.
Yeah.
I need, you know.
He's their Deadpool.
Yeah. He's also, he's you if you had superpowers.
Yeah.
Okay, I can run really fast. I don't know how I pay bills with that.
Right.
You know, without becoming a criminal, and I don't want to become a criminal.
He does steal a lot of
hot
dogs.
One thing.
He does.
One thing that they do, they touch on it at the beginning with the guy making the sandwich, and they never really touch on it again, and they touch on it a lot in the comics, is the Flash is like, you know, like when you're behind the slow person in the checkout lane and you're going nuts? That's every second of my life.
Yeah, yeah.
Every second of my life is everything is going too slow for me. Or as the writer Alan Moore said, it's a man whose whole world is a gallery of statues. That's all it is. That's how fast he moves. So, of course, he's a little nervy and antsy.
And
they don't go back to that.
You don't think that that's his entire personality? Like, he's too much. Again, as a person who worries that I'm too much, I'm relating to this guy.
Yeah, but he didn't play it like that, okay, I'm sitting on a lot of anger. He just played it with all this goofiness. We could get into a whole other thing about the actor, which we don't need to, but
it was hard to separate the actor.
Well,
from,
there's been so much news. So yeah.
I don't know what happened with him. So well,
they
used
a lot of stuff.
They're non-binary,
their mind, but yeah,
just
their pronouns are they, them. They body slammed a person at a bar. They kidnapped a young girl. They had a family living in their commune. And then they just decided to open this movie, let them do one interview, and that was it. And it was
so
just...
It is tricky.
It's a little wild.
Yeah.
That's why he said the Justice League doesn't have have mental health. Trust me. Wasn't that a reshoot, like to kind of put a wink in the movie? That's what I was told.
I feel like at that point they were trying to shy away from everything they were doing. They didn't... I don't think the studio wanted to remind everyone... Because it was every day they were in the news doing something worse and worse and worse.
Yeah.
And you're like, and it also fell to that actress who plays Kara, Supergirl, who did a fine job for what she was given, but she had to shoulder the weight of that.
Yeah.
She did all the promo. Oh my God.
What about Keaton?
He didn't really promote it that much.
Huh.
That's really hard.
Because I think he wanted to separate himself from Ezra.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's tough.
I read a whole article about it while watching.
Same, and I watched it.
Because I didn't really know
right
all
before,
the details.
And
then
I was
like, oops, I'm having a hard time.
This is not good. Yeah. Anyway, back to the summary. So
here we go.
Nearby, Batman, don't be sorry, chases a group of criminals. They're in possession of a deadly virus. Oh, we already read that. Okay. So Barry rushes to the research center where he finds his coworkers,
ammo.
Patty and Albert, waiting for their boss to chew them out. And then we meet Iris West, who recognizes Barry from college. This I didn't need. And then we find out that his dad is on trial for murdering his mom.
I love Ron Livingston. I was
too.
Really excited. It's
nice
Burger from
choice.
Sex and the City.
I'll jump in and say
that's what I know him from, Sex and the City.
Yeah,
in a 4K world, it's really tricky. And I don't have a 4K TV, so maybe it was my TV.
Uh-huh.
His makeup was like he was wearing
it was really
orange
it was
face.
Very
yes.
done in
did
a,
you
was,
notice this
was it an
I'm
age
being funny.
Not,
was it an aging thing
I don't know if it was
they
aging
they de-age him
I watched this
point.
on a TV in a hotel so I didn't have any problems
yeah
was it a Hilton
I'm not sure.
So did you get points?
I know where I stayed. I'm on 3 points program, so it must have been a place where I get points.
I need more points in my
I
life.
I want more
I
points,
I need
too.
Someone to give me a whole primer on that, but okay, it's for another day.
Pretty
so,
sure any lobby reception will give you that primer.
They will walk you right
to,
through.
Yeah, we don't want to talk to people. Just give us the points.
You're going to have to get over it.
So Barry later chats with Henry over the phone about the store security footage needed to establish Henry's alibi at the time of Nora's death. Henry's face is not visible, so Barry fears that the evidence will be admissible. Barry puts on his flash suit and runs to his childhood home. He has a flashback to the day his mother died.
Horrible
in a very
scene.
Current kitchen.
Yeah,
that
yes.
kitchen was not
but,
a flashback
no, but,
kitchen.
But I think that That's it's true. Not that they long been... ago.
Hmm?
It's not that long ago because the character is kind of young, right?
It's like
yes.
15 years ago.
Right? Like,
well, I don't know if farmhouse sinks were in
okay,
15
that's a
years
really good
ago.
Question.
I noticed
or
that thing
those pulls. Those are very current pulls.
It's a double farmhouse. I don't know if you noticed that. It's
yeah,
a nice,
nice
sink.
Sink.
And it's a nice
it was
sink.
On trend with the blue cabinets.
It was.
This was not for me. It took me right out.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Boy.
But the scene where she's stabbed, so the little kid finds his mother stabbed downstairs and then the dad's like, call 911. And then the kid runs outside. I was like, where are you going?
Well, because he thought Dachi did it because Dachi's hand
oh,
was on that knife
that at that moment.
Yes.
Okay,
because the knife, and
I didn't process
he's like
it that
holding
way.
It like he did it and is like, call 911. And
I
think
that
kid
thought.
Was like, oh no, I think my dad did this.
Yeah.
I thought it was more just like metaphorically.
Oh, maybe.
I thought he was like panicking, like running.
I don't think it's what happened. I think it's his memory. It's like, this is the moment I started running from my life.
Oh, that's really poetic.
But I really think this is how you're supposed to watch the movie.
Because
if you go, why isn't he calling 911? He could have been running to a payphone. I don't know what he's doing.
Oh, I was stuck on that kitchen.
Right,
really made me upset.
I like the layers you're giving them.
I think this is the casualty with which to watch this movie.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think that's true. We can can't, we don't, we are not given that we're, sort of
it's not your
freedom.
Job. We're here to play.
No, but Barry realizes he can run fast enough to go back at least one day in time. So he relays that to Bruce, and Barry proposes he goes further back in time to save both his mother and Bruce's parents.
And now we have our theme established. Mm-hmm. Bruce says we can, our wounds make us who we are. Mm-hmm. Then he also invites him out to dinner, and Bruce says, and this comes back, maybe another time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I also love Affleck.
Did Ben Affleck, I feel like he was
doing a different voice.
Yes. I was confused because I was like in his, because we watched the Justice League Ultimate Edition, Everybody Loves It, is 100 hours long. and I felt like his voice was very different.
No, he was, I actually was like, is he doing a bit? Like I thought it was like a character.
Because he was doing more of a Christian Bailey thing.
As Batman?
Yeah. I don't think he did that much in the previous. But
No, in the previous one, I think he had a voice modifier, like a digital one.
Maybe that's the difference.
And in this one, he's just doing it all natural.
Because he was doing it.
Interesting.
I don't know. I'm just going like, he's kind of blue and I love it. He's Miles Davis. He's kind of blue.
Bruce leaves and Iris meets with Barry about Henry's case. Barry comes to a conclusion that there's a way to undo Nora's death.
Iris is pointless.
Yeah, no, I know. And I didn't, there's a lot of like the...
I think she's a great actress.
No, the it's not love nothing interest? Against the person. But it's like the sort of when they...
You need it. If that movie, if that movie ends and he's not going on a date, you don't have, he's not fully resolved.
Should have gone out with Supergirl. They weren't coming.
Because, I mean, because what is, so what why is, not? Look, let's get Freudian, but what is a wife, but like your new, not I'm saying...
Don't
new
mommy. Say it, don't say
but I'm
it.
Saying he needs a new...
New mommy!
He needs, yeah, sure. It's not my theory, paging well. Sigmund. I'm just saying, like,
who's
he needs
Sigmund?
Freud.
Oh.
He needs a female.
Aging
Sigmund, he comes in.
Monsters,
he's like, mommy is
right. The lion people.
This isn't my theory, but it's. I think you would have been unconsciously dissatisfied if that movie ends where he doesn't
have a woman
learn
care
how
of him.
To talk to the woman that he couldn't talk to, that he wanted to.
I don't know.
He loses
really...
his mom, and then he finds the love of his life.
Well, so he goes back
to
the
grocery
store.
Yeah, that's why people go see a Flash movie.
No, see, I actually take issue with it. People have no idea why they go and see movies, and it is for stuff like this. You think you want fast running, but if it doesn't have stuff like this,
I don't think I want fast running.
The stuff with the mom in the supermarket, that was touching enough to me.
It was so touching. Well, in this whole scene.
No, that's the sad part.
This scene,
then it needs to be resolved.
I didn't find that to be sad.
Quite emotional.
What?
The mom touching him in the supermarket, and he makes the choice to sacrifice her for the greater good or whatever. I thought that was enough of growth.
That story, I was really surprised by how strong of a storyline that was, but I was also happy because I wanted there to be that depth to the character because it's such a silly, you know, story. Mm-hmm. But like, so he goes and he goes back in time. He plants a can of tomatoes, which is what his dad had gone out to get when the stabbing occurred. He puts it into her cart so that doesn't need to happen.
Mm-hmm. And whispers for good measure.
Yeah.
Don't forget the tomatoes.
Yeah. And I'm like, but they're in the cart.
Yeah,
you did it.
She'll put them up there.
She ain't gonna forget. They're there.
But it was so fast. It was just, but he didn't.
So he goes back and he meets his old self, who is 18 and is just a goofball.
So that wasn't a twin?
No.
No.
Alternate version of himself if his parents had never died and he didn't become the Flash?
Because
he always had
no.
So that
he
got
went
confusing.
Back the day he got struck by lightning to become the Flash.
Okay.
Yeah, it starts raining and he goes, it's September 29th.
Yes. And
That's right.
Mega Evil Flash later is like, I pushed you out so you could go there to.
But he's like,
again.
Everything that character does, he's like, I'm like, why is he like
I
that?
I need my laundry done.
Like, oh
I know this
God.
Is a complicated guy, and I'm not weighing in on that scandal. I don't know any
details.
Oh,
no, we're talking about a character.
Yeah.
Oh, I kept wanting to not like the performance, and I was like, this is working.
Oh, no, I agree. I texted you that I thought it was a good performance. Yeah.
Weirdly enough, his alternate universe version of himself was so annoying that the regular Ezra Miller became weirdly wise and calming.
Yes.
By comparison.
Right.
It's the first time I've seen an actor create a version of themselves that makes you like the version of themselves that normally you wouldn't like. That's quite a feat.
Yeah, I will also say, just to throw this in the mix, you see his impatience here because 18-year-old Flash Barry won't listen to the ends of sentences. And he keeps, that's why he ends up naked in his neighbor's apartment. Which I thought the phasing was funny, but he's very, very impatient. So you do kind of
And I liked that whole segment because I tend to
I'm like the
like,
writer and you're like
you
the
are
studio.
Yeah, I know. You're kind of like, can we have more
You would have liked this.
Yeah, just more running. It's a movie called The Flash, but it's 3 hours long. Okay, whatever. Okay, fine.
Well, I like body
it's
switch movies.
It's the fastest man alive. Four and a half hours of speed. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I like body switch movies, and I like time travel. I like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I did enjoy this plot line.
Yes.
It was, I was thinking about, as an actor, like, wow, this person has to do so much in this movie because it's two of this character for the entire time doing two totally different things. And that was impressive.
Very impressive. And I think they have the range. But I will say, it like they do talk about Back to the Future in the movie, and it's very Back to the Future-y.
Yeah.
Back to the Future gets into it so much faster.
Yeah.
I just wanted them to get into this faster.
Right. Like, what are the problems that occur now that you're back? Yeah.
Okay.
Go to the two berries. Go to the
Go for it.
The two berries go to the research center, so that Barry 2 can go through the same freak accident that gave Barry 1 his powers. Just as Barry 2 begins panicking, Barry stands in front of him right when the lightning strikes, hitting both of them. Barry sees that he's lost his powers while Barry 2 has successfully acquired them, and they return to Barry 2's apartment where he begins to have reckless fun with his powers. That part's fun.
Yeah, it is fun. He goes for a nice run. He wreaks havoc.
And it's sad that he doesn't have his powers anymore. And it's like, what do I do? And then the refrigerator situation, by the way, and was making me so sad. But that's real.
That reminded me of having children, too, by the way. It's like you give this younger thing your energy. You're like your life force.
Yeah.
And you're happy to do it. So I related to that.
Oh, that's
I enjoyed
sweet.
It. I like it's like that. You have it. Yeah. And then, but you also know he's going to go out and make all these mistakes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, the next day, just as Barry gives Barry 2 his suit.
We got to have this guy watch Showgirls and make it a beautiful allegory
Honestly?
About empowerment or something, because he's seeing stuff in here that I absolutely didn't see.
Yeah.
I'm not disagreeing with you, but my God.
We're having a conversation about space.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I had a big empty room in my psyche called Put a Movie Here.
All right.
And I put one movie in there, and I was like,
yeah. We're in such a different space.
Yeah,
very, very
way
different.
Also,
different.
I just watched Showgirls, and I think it's an actual masterpiece.
Oh, dear God.
I've never seen it. Lauren, we gotta watch it. It is incredible.
Newcomer's Showgirls?
You'll love it.
The choices made
are insane.
Wow. I went and saw it at the Sunset 5 when people were trying to make it into a cult movie and failing. There was this weird push for like a month. Like when they would say brown rice and vegetables, people would throw brown rice, and it was just not catching on. And it was so
that's
the
funny.
Failed Showgirls that's Rocky really Horror attempt. That's worth
that's
an episode.
Great.
That is very funny.
Oh my
anyway.
God.
Well, here's where General Zod comes in.
Mm-hmm.
I love Michael Shannon. I think he's also hilarious in interviews. He's always like there was some interview where they're like, what do you think happened to your character? He's like, I don't care.
Yeah.
I go in, I do it, and the way his
head and face is inside that helmet, I wonder if he was ever physically on that set.
Oh.
He's a completely digital face inside of it.
Yeah.
His army of Kryptonians arrive on Earth, and they find Barry, and Barry believes he's Superman. Barry tries to find another Justice League member in this time, to find the other Justice League members in this timeline.
Yeah, so then the Barrys go to Wayne Manor to find Bruce, only to see that it's Michael Keaton!
That was fun!
And he's older!
And he's wearing one flip-flop!
And I didn't think it was him at all!
The worst wig I've ever seen. I was really confused.
And
a crazy
beard.
Yes! And I didn't realize it was Michael Keaton until way later.
Me too!
And I was like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Dreamy Blues?
They didn't make that clear for a
blues.
While.
For a long time.
I was.
But it was Michael Keaton?
I did not get that.
Yeah.
I'm the guy who lives here? You didn't go, it's Michael Keaton?
No.
I just didn't get
we
that.
We had different 90s. Our 90s were different.
I mean, I got the voice right away, but I was still distracted by the fact that they apparently went to a Spirit Halloween store for a wig and beard and barely taped it on
Wizard
him.
Hat.
Yeah.
I was too busy going like, 80s Batman. 90s Batman.
Well, he is like my favorite Batman.
You know the fan service they're talking about in the film? I was
yes,
the fan.
Yes, you were the
service.
Fan, yeah, which is great.
I was serviced.
Yeah. But he's old and alone because Alfred be dead.
I threw that to you.
Bruce
I was
tells
serviced.
Barry
I'm glad
that
for
he
you.
Ended up opening other timelines in the multiverse. Bruce declines to help them locate Superman. The Barry sneak into the Batcave and do research on Bruce's computer. Barry gets annoyed with his younger self's immaturity and can't bring himself to admit why they went back in the first place because he doesn't want to say, Mommy's dead.
Well, he's also mad at him. You got Mom and I didn't get Mom.
Yes. that.
It's that whole, like, you don't even know what you had.
That's, again, why I think it's enough that he doesn't need a love story and that he gets to see his mom for the last time.
I'm not saying there isn't lots more, but I just like the love story as well.
Fair. Maybe that's the space I'm in, because my mom's dead, and I'm like, if I had one last moment with her, that would be really incredible. And I, like, for me, that would be enough, but also...
But then wouldn't you want to go on a date?
Don't you have a podcast called Why Don't You Date Me?
I do.
I'm completely kidding. I would, like, I'm
and
saying, like,
maybe I'll have a new podcast called Why's Mommy Dead? No, I'm kidding.
The new surprise hit podcast, Why's Mommy Dead?
Why's Mommy Dead is brought to you by MailChimp.
So let's see. Barry talks to Bruce, convinces him to help, and then Bruce dons the bat suit once more and gives Barry a file. And then
you see,
there's a Kryptonian prisoner.
We're skipping over a pretty awesome part where he opens up the room and there's like five awesome bat suits, and that's the one that we know and love.
That I thought they were the same bat suit.
I thought it was all the same.
This is such a heartbreak hotel for me. I feel like I made the movie, and I'm like, you didn't see the five bat suits?
No, I saw them. They were the same. They but it was like he had all this like a
closet. Yeah, I thought those were just spares, because I don't think the bat suit changed between Batman and Batman Returns.
They
it changed a lot.
One of them has goggles. One of them's like an air jump Batman.
Did one of them have nipples and one didn't have nipples?
No, that didn't happen until Schumacher showed up.
The classic style.
Those were the Schumacher ones.
I love that one.
Dear God in heaven.
You didn't like Batman Returns.
That's not Batman Returns. No, Batman Returns.
Batman and Robin.
Batman Forever and Batman and Robin were horrible.
They were. I love them.
No, they're insane.
In we have
the Bat credit card.
Oh,
the shot of
yikes.
The ass. Nobody needed that movie.
No.
See, I don't like things. Okay. And I loved The Flash. Which one do I say that to?
All of them.
All of them.
Say it each time. Yeah. So the trio use the Batwing to fly to Siberia and infiltrate the base. They find a chamber which contains not Kal-El, but a young Kryptonian woman, Kara Zor-El.
I was like, come on, why can't she be Betty? Like, why do they have the same name, essentially? Kal-El, Kara's... Wait, so everyone's...
Krypton's looking at us like Judy and Judd.
Yeah. I think it's almost like it's all family names.
Fair.
And it's like the family name comes first and the house of... Kal-El, or I don't know, something like that.
Well, the
sounds
heroes like get her out of there, but Barry too.
I mean, it sounds like I do. I actually do know it's a different house.
I love that you did kind of know.
I totally, oh my God, I totally tried to bail on it halfway through. It's the different house, so you're the house of Kal-El, but I don't really know.
I feel like we hung out in high school just now. That was really fun for me.
Damn.
I loved it.
So Barry too gets shot in the leg, which was... great. So the guys return Kara back to Wayne Manor after learning that Zod is on Earth. She puts on her Supergirl suit.
We're missing
suit.
Some things we could laugh
about.
And
where did
about. She how much Hugh Weigh was in there?
Why is Weighing always coming up in
because
these movies?
Because in the Batman movies, when
Batman.
He shoots, like
know,
he said to like the lady.
So that's just a joke about
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I think it's a callback
movie.
To that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I thought that
there's
was
a
really
lot
nice.
Of callbacks to that.
I yeah. love that.
No,
but there's one specific callback that I did not like, which we'll get to.
You want
to
get okay. nuts?
Yes.
Yeah.
The way he reads that line, because in the original, he's like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts. This was like, you want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
I don't think it would have felt earned if he did it. Because he's talking to the Joker in the first one.
I know, but still, like, some kind of that... what was so brilliant about Michael Keaton was he didn't shy away from the fact that Bruce Wayne is a little crazy.
Oh,
like
that's
he
funny.
Is,
I agree.
He yeah. is sitting on a lot of psychosis, and he's barely keeping it together. And that scene was great, because it's like, oh, I'm just as crazy as this other dude.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I agree.
You want to get nuts? Let's get nuts.
I think if he had yelled it, I would have been like, why is
what?
He yelling it? It's three friends talking in yeah. a safe cave.
Yeah. That's like bringing Stanley Kowalski back for a movie. And he's like, hey, Stella.
Come over here.
Stella.
If he had
I'm not
screamed
yell,
it, it could have been,
Stella,
it could have been funny if he had yelled
yeah.
it. And they're like,
what?
Yeah.
Talking.
Yeah. And they go, oh, he's crazy.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you convinced me. Yeah. You're right. Yeah. If they called it out, like, why are you?
They would in this movie, it feels
yes.
like.
Right.
Also, where did Supergirl's outfit come from?
Yeah, she goes and puts it on.
It fits perfectly.
It is
I
perfect.
Agree. It just shows up in the Batcave.
That's magic.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's magic.
That was also, even for
that
me.
Was
that was
weird.
A pretty big. Don't, yeah. Please yeah. pay
I
no mind.
I thought Sasha
to this.
Kelly is that
yeah,
her name?
Mm-hmm.
Great. She was in a different movie, I felt like, than everybody else, though.
It was. She's so serious.
Real brooding. Yeah. Yeah.
Would you say she's from a different planet than everybody else? Because that sounds like somebody was doing their job well.
But well,
she did a great job.
Say that.
But Superman isn't a brooding. You know, Kryptonians are hopeful and sunny. Mm-hmm. And
I liked it. It was like Billie Eilish from Krypton. It was Krypton's Eilish.
It's, I'm sorry, Bill E. from the House of Kal-El. Bill/E.
If I was a nerd, I would have cackled.
Yeah, exactly.
That was a very good
not.
Joke.
There you go.
That was such a good joke.
I really
I'm Kal-El.
It.
I'm Bill E.
It was good.
No, thank you.
We all liked it.
It was a great
thank
joke.
You.
Bill.
Well, I'm glad we all had a chance to get nuts.
So the guys return Kara back to Wayne Manor after learning Zod's on Earth. Oh, wait, you already read.
No. Yeah.
Okay, so they got to recreate lightning, like in Back to the Future. Also, yeah. They keep talking about Back to the Future with
Eric Stoltz,
yeah,
which I love.
So was he originally? He was originally in the movie.
Shot it for 2 weeks on the movie.
Yeah.
There's footage of him. And the reason that they replaced him was he played it really serious and dark and brooding. And they're like, does he know this is a comedy?
Wow.
And so they replay. The only, there is one half second of Eric Stoltz in the movie when he punches Biff. That's his hand.
Oh, that's crazy.
That's interesting.
What? Oh, wow.
You got insert credit.
Stoltz hand.
Michael J. Fox, the best.
He's so good.
So charming.
I love
Eric Stoltz, but he was like, they were right to replace him.
Well, it's interesting because I'm like really not familiar with him, and I feel like it's because he wasn't in that. Mm-hmm. Like, my childhood missed
Oh, no, he's done
Eric
some
Stoltz.
Great movies.
Yeah.
Like, genuinely great performances.
Like what? I wonder if I've
like
seen them.
Mask, like The Water Dance, like Killing Zoe.
Nope.
He's great
Pulp
in his scene in Pulp Fiction's
Mask.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
He has several scenes in Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, Some Kind of Wonderful.
Never seen it.
This is a blind spot.
Some Kind of Wonderful is a great John Hughes movie where Eric Stoltz is forced to choose between the insanely hot Leah Thompson and the insanely hot Mary Stuart Masterson, which every high school kid can relate to.
Yeah. Wait, what
being
movie
in
is that
crossroads.
What
Some
movie?
Kind of Wonderful.
Some Kind of Wonderful was like
Little
his,
Women.
It was like Little his Women? Apology yeah. for Pretty in Pink.
Never seen that
where
either.
She doesn't go with Ducky.
Oh, I like
Ducky.
Pretty in Pink. But she isn't goes, that crazy that he was in a movie with Lea Michele? Or it's not Lea Michele. Sorry, what's her name?
Lea Thompson.
Lea Thompson, who would have been his mom
who
in Back
been his
to the
mom. But she played his love interest.
Wow, that's fun.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. Kind of plays yeah. love interest.
Well,
and
yeah, there you
and
go.
Back to the Future.
I know, she Spoiler. Really wants him.
Yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. Spoiler.
Hey, that's a good movie.
So then they strike him with lightning, and this is pretty intense.
Oh, this was so intense.
Oh, my God.
The lightning strike?
He's like, give me another one. And Batman's like, oh, no, it's not working. And then Supergirl flies him up to the sky where there's more lightning.
Loved yeah. it, and it worked, and you get the callback of I Got You.
From what?
Because oh my God! Because he saves her. They're running out, and he's holding her when she's frailing. He goes, I got you. It's very sweet. And then when she's holding him in the lightning, he goes, she goes, I got you.
Oh, in the same movie, not a callback.
Yeah, okay.
Oh,
yeah, I thought yeah, you were yeah. referencing a different movie.
No, but it's mirrored.
Yeah. I see.
It's, why is she helping him? Because he helped her.
Well, there is that line from the Christopher Reeve movie, which I got you. You got me. Who's got you?
Oh, we haven't seen Superman.
Oh my God.
I don't want.
Now,
I've never
that's
seen
a superhero
super,
movie. Oh,
really?
The first Superman with Christopher Reeve is fantastic.
Oh. Wow.
But yeah. I did watch Lois and Clark with the Dean Cain, who is not in this movie.
I wonder why.
Me too.
Is he oh, yeah. is he bad?
He's a little right-leaning and has some questionable things to say.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, everyone's got an opinion.
Yeah, sure do.
So Kara confronts Zod, blee blah blue blah
speed.
Blah. Zod confirms that KL is dead. And then Supergirl, she's gonna fight. And then everybody fighting. And then Batman makes a sacrifice, crashing his jet into Zod's jet, but then does not manage to destroy it.
Because that shields.
The Barrys run back in time to save their allies. Mm-hmm. They get stuck in their speed force because every timeline always results in Kara and Bruce's deaths and Zod destroying Earth. So Barry becomes more and more angry until they're met by the evil speedster that started the mess, just happens to be a much older Barry that has not stopped trying to fix everything.
And who's gone insane.
Gave up because young Barry looked like Barry. Barry looked like Barry. And then old Barry didn't look like Barry.
Yeah, young
I'll
Barry
agree.
Was cast
It took me
really
a moment.
Well.
It took me a moment to be like,
yeah.
Well, who is that?
Yeah.
But then I thought that was very mythic, very archetypal, kind of classic, like a Greek myth. Like, and he's been there forever trying to change the past. I was like, oh, that's a nice little thing for us to project. Like when you get obsessed and you can't let go of something.
But why was old Barry all dusty and what was all that stuff on him?
I think, well, remember he got the piece of metal in him. I think that kept happening.
Stuff
like that kept happening.
The weight of centuries built upon him, and like rust or barnacles.
Time is inconsequential.
Time barnacles.
Well, so this
time
is
barnacles.
This feels like a lot of like why they made this movie. Multiple worlds and timelines begin to collide, featuring different flashes. Teddy Sears as Jay Garrick, an alternate Batman, Adam West. Alternate
Wait, who's
Supergirl.
Teddy Sears and Jay? Oh, Teddy that's
Sears different flashes.
Oh yeah.
Alternate
and
Supergirl.
He's wearing a weird frisbee on his head.
And you get to see Nick
Cage. Well, the first flash wore a helmet.
I love Nicolas Cage. Many alternate Supermen: George Reeves, Christopher Reeve, and obviously Nicolas Cage.
I didn't know Nicolas Cage was a Superman.
He was supposed to be, and the suit was leaked. It was Tim Burton.
It was Tim Burton was making it. John Peters was producing it.
And everyone
John Peters'
it.
Whole thing was, he's got to wear black, and he has to fight a giant spider. Those were his two notes to Kevin Smith, who was writing that movie.
Oh, wow.
And so the movie never got made. The giant spider ended up in Wild Wild West, which is the only good thing about that horrible movie, that weird steampunk giant spider.
Will
was brilliant.
Smith turned down the Matrix.
Turned down the
Wild,
Matrix.
Wild West.
Wow.
Although I give Will Smith credit, because the reason that I turned down the Matrix is why the Matrix is successful. Because it wouldn't have worked with me.
Interview.
It's Keanu made it work.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be him as Neo and Val Kilmer as Morpheus. And he goes, the fact that I turned it down and they went with Keanu and Lawrence, that's what made it. And he actually understands that, sometimes you turning down a movie ends up being a good thing.
Yeah.
Because some problems can't be solved.
Oh.
You just walk away.
Okay.
The theme of this movie.
That scene, I'm sorry, but that scene where he goes into the alternate carousel of timelines was the death of the multiverse. And I'm actually kind of glad it happened. The multiverse has been done so badly in movies.
Well,
I mean, the only ones
across the universe, Spider-Man.
The two Spider-Man movies and Everything Everywhere All at Once
really
are the only movies that have dealt with the idea of a multiverse. And also a very tiny low budget movie called Primer really explores. Here's what happens when you start messing with the timelines. He literally comes out, stands there and just looks at stuff and they look at him and then he leaves. It's literally like that chandelier sketch from SNL. Look at this one. Look at this one. Look, it was the laziest fan service I've ever seen. Hey, you fans, you like the multiverse. There's Christopher
Reeve.
There's
all of them.
There's George Reeves. There's Adam West. Oh, remember Nicolas Cage was going to make a movie? There's one. There's the Supergirl movie, whoever that actress was.
Yeah.
Helen Slater. There they all are. And then nothing happens. And then he just leaves.
No, it is. It's such
a
blip.
Oh, my God.
That it's like.
This fan felt
service. I also
service.
Didn't like Christopher Reeves in it because he's dead.
And
like,
he
also. Well, this
is so questionable, isn't it?
I think it's really gross.
It's kind of like a thing that's happening so much now with AI and everything.
I don't like it.
And Christopher Reeve had said things before he passed about, I hope they don't do some, because they did that commercial with him like walking, and I think he was like,
before he died.
Yeah, before
that's
he died.
That's really
him, and then he was like, yikes, because he was about like the possibilities of, you know,
medical
repairing
science.
Spines and medical
science. Yeah, but
when you actually
spine,
do it,
don't
for
do it.
Real.
Yeah,
exactly.
That's wild.
And then to have him in this movie where he had said like, I'm very uncomfortable with him doing stuff like that.
Yeah,
yeah,
you know? That's
like
so
that.
That is wrong.
And I don't think they got Helen Slater's permission either. But unfortunately, when you do movies like that back then, I bet the contracts they signed were like,
right.
They weren't thinking of this kind of technology.
Well, it didn't exist. I mean, there's nothing like that. So it's that's what we all were striking
about. Strike again?
Yeah.
By the way, I see Helen Slater like every other day on the trail that I hike. She hikes this trail.
Oh.
And she has turned into this gorgeous, gray-haired hippie goddess. Like, just out on the trails. Like, there's Supergirl.
That's super cool.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to say super, but it is super cool.
Supergirl is where she and Faye Dunaway fight over a young hunk who, if I'm not mistaken, is played by Hart Bochner, who famously played Ellis in Die Hard, the guy, the Hans Booby.
Oh yeah,
never saw that.
Yeah, the cokehead.
Yeah, yeah, the cokehead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I think he is a Supergirl.
It's like the things that come up on this. I think we're always like, oh,
Booby.
I'm
your white knight,
Booby. I'm your white God. What a great performance!
It's fun to watch at Christmas.
I watched it on Christmas Eve with my wife and daughter. My daughter had never seen it. So all my friends have seen Die Hard. I'm like, let's watch it.
Yeah.
She thought it was great.
It's fun. It's really fun. It takes place on Christmas.
90s unnecessary nudity in any movie.
Oh, they were both laughing at that.
More than Showgirls? Yeah.
When they, no. Die Hard has the, we got to have a couple bare boobs. Just how do we put them? And it is so, it's like when you look up perfunctory in the dictionary, there should be a screen grab of that scene. Like, here
the
they
terrorists
are
just clearing rooms and somebody's having sex.
Oh,
in one
yes,
of the rooms.
I remember. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's
yeah.
just like, it's
and
the
90s. There it is.
Yeah.
I also will say, even though that movie is great, Bruce Willis is doing something that to me now seems like really like, I don't know how to say it. It's very outdated. It's like he's the good guy and he's like emotionally unavailable. All these things that we value now were not values
then. Yeah, yeah,
so he's like, I don't know. My wife works here. I don't know what she does.
Right.
And we're rooting for him.
Yeah.
He's like,
although
she wanted the movie. I just want to be a cop.
Yeah.
And we're like, but she can have a life too.
Yes, that did not age well. But you know what aged really, really well and what was really startling when you first saw that movie in the 80s was he's the lone guy up against the terrorist. And he first calls the police. Then he calls the fire. He does everything he can to not be involved in the movie.
Because
he's like, they have rocket launchers. I have one gun. And up to that point, it had been Stallone and Schwarzenegger. I will do this myself. So
that's
to see
really
someone
right.
actually
like
acting like a real person the way you would act, it actually upped the stakes.
Yeah.
I love that. That's really smart.
Keep going.
I have no idea.
I had to go off about it. That was
no.
the...
No, that's...
That. We got to see the death of the multiverse in movies. They did it so badly that it's like, we're done. Leave it to the Spider-Man people.
Yeah.
Phil Lord... Leave it to him and his crew, and that's it.
Yeah,
sorry.
It just felt like it was kind of plopped in there, but it also felt like it was definitely like a goal of the.
Like you're complaining.
Literally
about a plop
plopped,
of ice cream.
like dropped into a toilet.
You guys are at
plopped.
A children's birthday party, going like, "Was this pinata earned?"
But was you're, it?
You know what it is. We're all so spoiled. As a parent, I'm taking away your Disney Plus. I'm taking away your Max. 6 months, then you get one superhero movie.
That sounds good.
And you'll thank me. You need a dopamine detox.
Well, no, we're gonna have one. Don't worry. We are our next season.
Yeah.
It'll be just books.
Yeah, we're just sitting reading.
And then instead of reading it, you show the movie or the book.
But weirdly enough, they do one cool thing with the multiverse in this movie, which is they show the effect on a person if they discovered there was a multiverse, in that when they discover Batman, Michael Keaton has gone nuts because he has learned about the multiverse. And he's like, so everything we do is pointless? Like there's a million versions? And he's just grown a beard and he's just eating spaghetti like because he's gone crazy, which is actually how you would react if you found out there were multiple versions of you.
And nothing matters.
You're like, so what? Why are we doing any of this?
I don't know. Yeah. I would go visit different Nicoles just to see if like I'm married in any multiverse.
That part seems kind of fun.
Cute.
When Barry like
or sad
when Barry meets Barry, I feel like there's almost this like uncomfortability that I wanted there to be just sort of like, great, I know you. like it's like it should be the most comfortable meeting of a person that you've ever had.
Like,
you're I know you better than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, but that I would have appreciated maybe a little bit of that. But okay, so this is the moment we're all waiting for, where he returns to the supermarket to take the tomato can from Nora's cart. He talks to her before beginning to cry, and she consoles him, and Barry takes the time to admire his mother one last time before making the switch. He then returns home to his timeline, but not before noticing the security camera at the store. Barry shows up late for Henry's trial. His lawyer brings up new footage that has been enhanced thanks to Barry moving the cans from the bottom shelf to the top. This
so
effectively...
he does metal.
Proves his father's alibi and his innocence, allowing him to go free. After the trial, Barry gets a call from Bruce congratulating him as he's pulling up to the courthouse, and Barry's shocked to see that this is not the same Bruce he knows because he's now played by George Clooney.
Cut to me.
I
alone,
did like that.
Like a touchdown. I'm like, yes!
No, it is fun. It's fun.
Yes!
It's fun. The way things are affected, and now it's this guy.
Because
Batman.
I was like, he did change the past, and then you get it.
Yeah.
Also shout out to Banana Bees. I thought that was a good joke.
I also wonder if that was the way for DC Studios to go, we've got to get rid of Ezra Miller. Let's trap him in the Joel Schumacher universe. When they get new flashes, they're like, oh no, Ezra is still they're just trapped in the, I don't know what to do. That's where they ended up. What if he had pulled up and it was your version of Batman came out?
I'm over
and
here
it was like,
waiting.
Wait, which one is that? And then all the nerds are like, there is a YouTube theory. Excuse me, there is a YouTube theory.
Hello, Ezra. I call them Ezra. Yeah, hello, Ezra. I mean, it cuts to black.
They keep that all in. They're like, whatever.
We widen and reveal my pants are falling down.
Every part about with this that was guy. Wrong.
I would have loved it.
Well, this movie was a box office bomb. I'm sorry to tell you.
Sorry.
With projected
not
losses,
not just a bomb, maybe one of the worst in history.
The Warner Brothers lost as much as $200 million.
$200 million.
Damn,
$200 million.
That's crazy.
Yeah, that's
crazy. A lot of money.
That's a whole budget for a full length Batman.
A Flash
movie.
Too.
Yeah. You could do
Batman.
A lot with that.
Oh,
yeah. And on Rotten Tomatoes, The Flash holds an approval rating of 63%, which is actually pretty high, I would say, given
that's good.
Lost.
63%?
What's the fan score?
Jeez.
I don't know. We don't know. That's what it is.
You have a research packet and you couldn't get both scores?
I don't know if you guys saw
it. Let's just copy this one and we're done here.
Well,
I want to know how the audience feels.
It might be the average of both.
Is the popcorn spilled?
Don't know.
I don't know if you guys watched Godzilla Minus One last year, which was fantastic and emotional. And it cost $14 million to make it.
Well, I really do want you.
Amazing.
Will you? Do you? Maybe you do it for your fans or something. Will you please email me your movies? I'm just. I'd love
like
to watch
you
loved.
Sure. Oh, you mean like from last year?
Just as a friend.
Yeah.
If you would just tell me, because anything like that, I'm.
Oh
about
yeah, yeah.
It.
This movie, this last year, this is like the opposite of The Flash, where The Flash, they could not have promoted it harder. It was literally everywhere, every banner above every website. Flash, Flash, Flash. Godzilla Minus One was made by Toho just for Japanese audiences. They released it for a week here, like this perfunctory, here it is. And it was so, got such rave reviews and all the screenings got so packed, they'd end up holding it over. Then they re-released it in black and white, but because the director was like, I wanted to make it in black and white. It's set in the late 50s in Japan. And then that, so like quality will always get out.
Yeah.
You know, and you cannot force something
bad
on people.
Yeah.
I'd like to say for the record that we've moved away from the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes because it's notoriously...
Don't feel attacked.
Well,
no, you're right, because there's a lot of people that they will troll, they'll flood things.
It's not good.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
That's good to know.
I didn't want you to think I was shouting you out.
I mean,
but again,
it is what you did.
In another more literal way, that is what I was doing.
What drives me crazy about this movie is there was so much potential for it to be great all... of the pieces were there, and they just, it was, I don't blame the director, I don't blame the writer, I feel like they could not have had more boots on their neck. DC was freaking out, all their movies were failing, this is the one that's going to save them, and oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. Spicy that makes chicken. Sense, though.
Well, here's some trivia. Michael Keaton's original Batman suit was infamously restrictive, forcing him to move his entire body to
look around.
Yeah,
he turn his neck.
Uh-huh. And for this movie, the costume designers created a more flexible suit that allowed for a greater range of motion.
I know it wasn't him, but I was loving the way he was moving.
Well,
was
when Keaton tried it on, he insisted it be made stiffer.
I love that. That's
good. That's fun. To be like, let me help. It helps my
performance. And that's how he does it.
I have a trivia.
What?
Nicolas Cage was told that when they captured his face, he was watching Krypton be destroyed. So he was like, I did it all emotional. And then like in the movie, he's fighting a spider. So he at the movie was like, what? Like he was very confused.
So weird.
That's not what I did.
They didn't know where it was going. They're like, just pretend something big.
You know what's really weird? There's a movie called Teen Titans Go to the Movies. It's animated based on the Teen Titans show that's on Cartoon Network.
Uh-huh.
And that, where Nicolas Cage voices Superman in that. And that is also a great piss take on the multiverse and on all that stuff. But it's almost like Deadpool for kids.
Uh-huh.
It's a total kids movie. It's so smart. Especially by making fun of superhero movies, where the whole movie is about why doesn't Robin have his own movie? And they're at all these premieres of like, finally, and there's a movie just about the utility belt. There's a movie just about Alfred. He's like, how do I not have a movie? And he's trying to figure it out. But you know, again, missed opportunities where a children's animated movie ran better with the jokes.
Well, they did. I remember Joseph Gordon-Levitt was teased as Robin.
Mm-hmm. And then
they were just like,
no, yeah.
I know.
Nolan was like, I'm never doing Robin.
Yeah.
Tom Cruise was one of the first people to see this film, having been sent a copy of it months before its theatrical release. He loved it so much, he called director Andy Muschietti to congratulate him. So you can
me and
call
Cruise,
Tom.
Baby. You and Tom. Me and Cruise. I had to check myself before I wrecked myself yesterday with another parent in town. I was getting very emotional how he could not like the Mission Impossible movies. And I was like, and he was like, they're garbage. And I was like, biting my tongue.
Those Mission Impossible movies, however you feel about Tom Cruise, that dude is showing, he is the last thing we have to like a Buster Keaton or a Jackie Chan where it's like, he's almost dying, not for one stunt, a bunch of them.
Yeah.
There's a car chase in the new Mission Impossible that puts that chase at the beginning of this movie with all the CGI and the surfing on the ground, where there are real stakes, there's real physics, real gravity,
I
agree. T. Cruz is the whole movie he's saying to Matt Damon and Keanu, like, do that.
Yeah, here we go.
And that's good for everybody.
Yes.
It's like Tarantino makes P.T. Anderson better. Wes Anderson better. Like,
the Beach Boys made the Beatles better. You need to keep hitting against each
Cruise
other. Yeah.
Cruise is, he's like growth hormone for creativity.
Oh, my God. Yeah, so, but like the work that goes into that stuff, and again, it's mostly practical effects.
Yeah.
I agree.
I love practical.
And
you
can practical.
Yeah. You can do practical in superhero movies. There's a way to do it. I mean, James Cameron, very famously, when he was going to do Spider-Man, he never did it. He wanted to use Cirque du Soleil people.
Oh, wow.
For the swinging, because he wanted it to look real and make the physics real.
I would see
that would be
James
awesome.
Cameron Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Because I love Avatar.
And Avatar is all practical. There's no CGI.
Everyone's blue.
You can go there.
They went to that planet. That's a place. And they
love
shot
Avatar.
That stuff. Yeah.
That tree was real.
Yeah. Avatar 2?
He shot that whole thing on his phone. He just went out there. Okay, guys, go. And they just
act
shot
like
it.
I'm not here.
It was amazing.
Well, okay, we need to take a quick break. We'll be back with a little more about The Flash and Batman when we return. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. My social battery right now, where would I put it? I'm kind of looking to connect with friends. I'm also looking to retreat a little bit and be by myself. It's hard to know exactly what you need at any given time. And it can be so easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin, especially with social gatherings picking up so much. After the winter, the spring is here. Well, what's the right amount of socializing for you and how do you recharge? Maybe you thrive around people. Maybe you need more alone time. Therapy can give you the self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery. I started therapy when I was about 30 and it was so, so helpful for me for learning about myself, learning about boundaries, learning about my relationships with other people and how to deal with other people. There's so many things you can benefit from therapy. So if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online. It's designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. So just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/newcomers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/newcomers.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, wow.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt. Mm-hmm. So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura.
We're back. Holy Batman, Batman, all season long. We've rated each Batman on the definitive newcomers Batman scale. We've had people use a QR code and rate Batman on the scale.
Wow.
Yes. We now see all these Batmans and we have the answer for who are the, you know.
Yeah, and the categories were preparedness, detective ability, voice graveliness, sadness, hotness / horniness.
And that can be interpreted as if you're horny or if they're horny. It's however you see it.
Yes, for you. However you see it.
You are literally adding like you're bringing a wine taster's viewpoint to Batman. I love it.
So
is mouthfeel on there?
I think it goes under horniness.
There you go. Yeah. Nice.
Our amazing producers, Anya and Allie, have crunched the numbers, figured out some averages, and we are so excited to share the season's final results on the most Batman to ever Batman. Mm-hmm. So coming in last is George Clooney with a 47.2% for Batman and Robin.
And that's not your fault, George. You were trapped in a horrible movie.
Yeah.
Even if he had literally delivered a friggin' Brando and Streetcar performance, it still would be at the bottom of the list. It has nothing to do with you, George.
It was the one casino you couldn't break out of. I'm sorry, George. I don't know why I'm doing kind of a Trump.
That was a little weird.
You're in the casino. You can't break out of Trump Casino. Our security's too good. Brad Pitt, we'd catch you. Casey Affleck, you're going down. We'll get you in the other funny one. What's his name? Is that Steve Zahn? I don't know who Steve Zahn is.
Bernie Mac?
I'm being waved down. It's Bernie Mac.
He's waved down.
I'm being waved down. It was Bernard Mac. Love Bernard Mac. Great in Bad Anta. Bad Ant-Man.
Bad Anta?
Paul Rudd is a mall center.
Ben Affleck scores 52% in Batman versus Superman.
Ben Affleck is above Clooney?
Yeah. No. Yeah. Yes, above. Yeah.
Okay.
I can't believe Affleck.
Adam West's Batman from 1969 has a 52.32%.
Michael Keaton, 61.5%.
Yeah.
Christian Bale scored a 63.8% for The Dark Knight Rises.
Will Arnett scores 71% in Lego Batman.
Okay.
So Lego Batman's on the list, but not my Batman?
Yeah.
You just came here to insult me. Oh, let's include Arnett.
Thank you for wearing the shirt.
Is the Lego Batman video game actor on this list?
He might be a little scratching.
Kevin Conroy got 75.8% in The Mask of the Phantasm.
Who did?
Kevin Conroy, the voice in The Mask of the Phantasm.
Well, I mean, that's that's the voice template.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what we understand.
Animated series?
Yeah. But Kevin Conroy, God, that voice.
Yeah.
Val Kilmer scored 76% in Batman Forever.
Wait, Val Kilmer is that high?
He's very hot.
He's hot.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess.
Hotness, horniness. You have to factor these things in.
He won on the swimsuit.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Michael Keaton scored a 78.2 in 1989's Batman.
Christian Bale, 81.2% for The Dark Knight.
Good. Robert Pattinson scores an 89.1% in The Batman.
Christian Bale is this season's highest scoring Batman with a 98% average for Batman Begins.
And we love that one.
We loved Batman Begins.
This does
Begins.
Make really? Sense. I feel really happy with this winner. Yay.
I feel like Dark Knight Bale is hotter than Batman.
No, we loved Batman Begins more than Dark Knight.
Huh. Not the movie, just how he looks in it.
Yeah. No, his performance, his brooding Batman.
Very brooding.
Christian
Bale,
we want to congratulate you specifically for your amazing performance in 2005's Batman Begins.
Yes, Christian Bale.
I do. I'll give Robert Pattinson credit, though. He leaned the hardest into Batman, the psychotic Travis Bickle. Like, even when he's not Batman.
And I get that reference. Like,
yeah. But even like,
I
even
wouldn't
as,
have weeks ago.
Oh, really?
Oh, you now get it.
Now
you
get it.
Yay.
But he also, like, even when he's Bruce Wayne, it's like, hey, something's wrong with that dude.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like, I watched that the first time and I really didn't like it. And then I had to, again, I was like, I'm watching myself.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted something different. Then I watched it again and I was like, oh, I was wrong.
Yeah.
This is why I think you should have to watch them twice before you review them.
I like that.
Well, we have a fun little announcement for our listeners. You can pre-order an exclusive Holy Batman Batman t-shirt with all of our rankings. And you can buy it in a bundle with a ticket to purchase separately, but it will be on sale through the VOD period of the live stream. So if you want to get it with your ticket, you can get that, or you can get it separately. Get your tickets to the live stream, get your tees at moment.co/newcomers. It's going to be so fun.
It's going to be so fun. And this is a Taryn Killam segment. How did the score score? I'm going to give it
just an opinion on the score. Yeah, the score was by Benjamin Wallfish. I didn't think about the
Wallfish?
Music.
What?
Yeah, Benjamin Wallfish.
That sounds like an alias. That's an alias. My name's Benjamin Wallfish.
That's what you give to a homicide cop when he comes to the Benjamin Wallfish.
And then the rookie cop tells the lead detective, he's like, well, Benjamin Wallfish, who? That was him! Get him! You thought his name was Wallfish!
He looked at the wall, he looked at the fish.
Wallfish.
By the way, Taryn Killam, a great comic book writer with a comic out called The Illegitimates that is one of those brilliant concepts.
Really?
I didn't know that. It's a James Bond type.
Oh.
All of his bastard kids that he sired with all of the hot Bond women have grown up and are forming a team. And it's brilliant. Ooh. It's so well written.
We did a sketch on my show where I was James Bond. We shot for shot did like, it was from, it doesn't matter which one, but it was the Daniel Craig.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, they're about to have sex in the shower and she goes, where's the condom? Because every time I watch those movies, I'm like, we're just going out there raw dog?
Yeah, exactly. Everybody?
But this is like, he's got like, the girl that he had with the girl from Live and Let Die, and then clearly, but not the same people by name, but it's clearly all those, and it's so good.
That's a great idea.
Wow.
Anyway, sorry, go ahead.
It's okay.
No, I feel like the score washed over us as we were watching.
Didn't notice a single song.
The comedy and all the things,
Did he have a running song?
I don't know.
Is this Wallfish? I did.
No, for the Flash.
For the Flash.
I did notice
we're talking Wonder about the Flash's Woman.
Score, music?
But yeah.
Yeah,
well,
no,
they used the Wonder Woman leitmotif, right? They used her little...
Yeah, that's like
and they played the Batman. Yeah.
And then they played the
Batman.
Old Danny Elfman thing.
Oh, I didn't even notice that. The only thing I noticed was Wonder Woman.
Yeah, I did notice that.
Because that one sounds like a Listerine commercial.
Wait a minute. Were there any nod to the John Williams 1978 score for Superman or Supergirl?
It feels like there had to be.
I don't think so.
But
yeah, probably
that might
not.
Be too expensive.
I don't know.
Yeah, you're right.
Very hard to hum
expensive.
The super. Let's see if you can do it. Can you hum? Don't do it yet. The theme John Williams from Superman, and then the theme from Star Wars in either order.
Ooh, that's a hard test.
This is Superman. Okay, Star Wars. Very good. You know, I find it's harder to go from Star Wars to Superman.
Although, if you want to find, well, go watch the movie King's Row sometime and listen to the opening theme during the credits and go, oh, that's where that came from.
Really?
1950s movie called King's Row. If you listen to after the show, call it up on YouTube and watch it. You'll go, oh my lord.
I like finding bites.
Someone's
like that.
Got a lawsuit.
It's a copy paste.
There was
or
a
is
Chuck
it a
e
sample?
Cheese.
Oh no.
No.
Not
just
a sample.
A rep. There was a Chuck E. Cheese commercial in the 90s that went like this. New now wow, Chuck E. Cheese's, have you heard? Which is do.
Oh my god.
It was really fun.
Wow.
New now wow. Chuck E. Cheese's, have you heard? I like to match them. The sky was gold and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, my God.
One's about meth.
A 90s dance song that samples the theme song to Green Acres. Is that a TV show?
Uh-huh.
Well, there's a woman who sings.
Acres is a place.
No.
What am I thinking?
Wait, that's right.
Yeah.
I just saw a YouTube clip about this.
Yeah.
He said we took the, wait a minute. It's her when she goes, but it's a little thing that it's from D-Light's Groove is in the Heart.
Oh, they do.
They sample
it's like
Eva Gabor going, meow. Yeah, it's her voice.
Yeah, that's from Green Acres.
That's
amazing.
Isn't that that's her. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's an iconic part of the song. That's
I know.
So funny.
And it's from the Green Acres.
That's amazing. That's really funny. I love that.
friends having fun.
Oh my God. Well, it's time for our segment called Five Kapows, where we review the film. So we read reviews from Letterboxd, and we also will each give our one sentence review ourselves of the film and a star rating. So if you don't know, Letterboxd is a social platform where people can write reviews of films.
Okay.
And we are on there at Newcomers if you want to see all of our reviews of all the movies we watch. This comes from JSams993. 2 stars. Watched on a cruise, everyone seemed to like it. That's the review of The Flash. And this very other one,
he throws all of his other members of the cruise under the bus because he gives it 2 stars. He goes, everybody on this they cruise? Seem to like
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
These fucking idiots.
That is everything that I have such an issue with that. It's like 2 stars, everyone seemed to like it. It's then, because what is the 2 stars? Is like, don't you dare embarrass me.
Yeah.
Have some courage. Say, I liked it too. 5 stars.
You need to go find JSams993 and let them know. Him.
I'll say, I love you, Jay. Your opinion is worthy.
4 stars from Sim Run. Hot take, but Ezra Miller Flash was good, and I enjoyed the characterization. So there you go. See, we represent
and
all
I wasn't
sides.
On a cruise.
Does anyone want to give their one-sentence review or star rating of the film? Anyone want to begin?
Yes. Can I give mine?
Yes, please.
Mm-hmm.
1 star. Goes nowhere fast.
Wow.
3 words. That's
wow.
it. Hang on. Can I say that in a Truman Capote voice?
Yes.
Yeah.
1 star. Goes nowhere fast.
You scooped me on a speed pun because I'm going to say 5 stars. 2.5 hours went by quickly.
Oh, wow.
I also want to say,
that's not reviewing, that's talking.
No, no one, you don't see the world as it is, you see the world as you are, including this movie. That's my review.
Lauren.
That's really nice. I'm going to say, I'm going to give it 2 stars.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see it on a cruise?
I did, and everyone seemed to like it. 2 stars. I liked the personal storylines more than the superhero storylines, but overall, good performances throughout.
Yeah, okay.
It's like a 3-star review. It really does.
You know, the stars, I struggle with stars. Because I really do. Because I go, well, if I give this many stars, then that doesn't mean that.
It.
So
yeah.
It's like, I try to keep it, you know.
See, if I was hosting the show, I would give it 4 stars because I would want somewhere to go.
Yeah, 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 exactly. Mm. See, I need to balance out because you know I've said things are
as a
bad,
guest,
but
I'll
I'm like, would I rather watch
wow,
to be
nice.
Wild?
Yeah,
wild.
You are a guest. Yeah. Like, yeah. That is a 5-star review that you've given it the entire time. I think in a bubble, 5 stars.
That's right. If I had to come back and then we watch Dark Knight and I'm like, 5 stars, you mean, so it's as good as Flash?
Yeah,
I'd be like,
oopsies. But you
whoops
could say for different reasons.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it 3 stars, I think. I did like the mom storyline. Ezra Miller did an incredible thing where I really didn't like them at the beginning, but by the end, they kind of won me over. But also, Ezra, stop body slamming women in bars.
It was a lady, too?
Yeah.
And stop kidnapping underage
kids. Yeah, don't have a whole commune.
And,
you gotta, hey, stop being a rascal.
A rascal? That's
rascally
quite
behavior.
A way to put it.
So we also
like that you know that, remember that rascal Charles Manson? That guy was a sketch.
He's silly.
He was a panic. He was a panic.
What was he up to? So we also love to get read reviews.
Sorry, wait a minute. A rascal. Okay, go ahead.
No, I was going to say we also love to read reviews of our own program.
Oh,
Michelle 1992 gave us 5 stars and said, "I have chronic migraines and haven't been able to watch TV or movies for years without getting a headache. And the only thing that brings me joy is Nicole and Lauren giggling about hobbits. Am I okay? Debatable. Do I love newcomers?
Nice.
Absolutely.
She is more than okay.
This is the way to watch movies is to hear us talk about them.
Talk.
Please leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We pick one to read on the next episode. And we also ask that you rate us on Spotify. It's just easy. Go click 5 stars.
Mm-hmm,
and go about your day.
Or by these standards, if you really liked it, give it 2 stars.
Wow. Yeah, if you're on a
even
cruise,
though
you
liked
to.
The characters and it worked and the actor won you over at the end.
You know what?
Still
make it
2-3 stars.
Make it 3.
2-3 stars.
Make it 3.
It was too cartoony.
Make it 3. I'm editing my review now.
And add to mine, too cartoony. Didn't like CGI.
Well, you guys, you're the best. Thank you so much
Thank
for being
so
here.
Much.
Is there
this was
here?
A blast. Please, this is my second appearance.
Yes.
Please bring me back on it when you tackle some other franchise.
We would love
recommend?
To.
I mean, have you guys, especially with 2024 goggles on. Have you watched the James Bond movies in order?
No, we've never. No, this has come up, but we're not
that
sure.
That would be fascinating.
It's probably coming for us.
Yeah, it makes me so sad to think about.
Yeah.
We it's a big undertaking.
I mean, yes, we'll have you back for sure, and maybe it'll be James Bond, but we got something in our pipeline right now that I'm really excited about.
All right, don't spoil it.
What do you guys want to plug? Don't get out of here. You got to plug.
Sorry.
No plug.
Plug. Well, you can go to your movie theater and see Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, which I appear in. And later in the year, next month, volume 2 of Minor Threats, my comic book, comes out from Dark Horse.
That's
That'll be
awesome.
Early April.
Ooh, that's fun.
And it's still showing right now on Apple TV is the series Manhunt.
Great.
In which I play Detective Lafayette Baker with the biggest, bushiest, most glorious beard you've ever seen.
Ooh, I love it. Wow. Is it natural or was it glued?
Oh, it was so glued on. When you see this thing, you're like,
hope you don't have Keaton's guy.
Yeah, that's
hope you don't have Keaton's guy, Pat, and I'll tell you.
We used up so much spirit gum, they had to use that beard for his. He got all the good beard stuff.
That's great.
Real quick, I just want to say, watch my special, please. It's on Netflix. It's called I Am Not For Everybody. And please listen to my podcast. Maybe start with Lauren.
So are you saying everybody should watch I'm Not For Everybody?
Ooh. Yeah, everybody should watch I'm Not For Everybody.
A paradox.
Because we need to find who exactly it is not for. We need the data. That's my audience score.
Okay, great. Well, go watch all those things.
We did it.
We'll be back next week with our last episode of the season. Newcomers presents Improvised Batman, our Liefstream finale. Our live stream finale.
Oh,
and
wow.
It's going to go better than that.
We're thriving.
This Liefstream finale.
That's the name Lev Striver checks into hotels in for privacy. I'm Liefstream finale.
Get your tickets now. It's going to be great. Bobby Moynihan, Taron Killam, and us improvising
we're
Batman.
Have a good
that's
time.
Going to be, I'm just, that's going to be amazing. You, the four of you improvising.
I literally don't know what will happen.
Me
I can't
either.
Wait.
I'm really excited.
Oh, yeah, it's going to be really fun. So we'll see you there. Thanks so much, you guys.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Newcomers is a production of HeadGum Studios. Our producer is Ali Khan. Our executive producer is Anya Konevskaya. The show is edited, mixed, and mastered by Ferris Manchi, who also composed our theme song. Follow us on Letterboxd at Newcomers and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. We might just read it on the next show. Na 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 bye!
That was a HeadGum original.